Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Las Vegas, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and we have currently been going through a study of the letter that Peter wrote to God's people way back in the first century, what we call 1 Peter. Now, we call it 1 Peter because he obviously wrote another letter, which is called 2 Peter. But 1 Peter, we're in chapter 3 now, and we started last week and read the first 7 verses and commented just a little bit. But that's where we want to start this morning. But before we do that, let's ask God to bless our time. Father in heaven, God, you are an amazing, awesome, wonderful, incredible God. We know that you created all things because the complexities and the vastness and the wonders of your creation from the macro universe of galaxies and the billions and billions of stars that are out there, all the way down to the tiniest strands of DNA and the complexities of atomic particles, God, that could not have just happened by accident. You are an intelligent creator designer that created all of these things and said it was good. And that included mankind. When you created Adam and you created Eve for Adam to be one that was compatible with him, that could understand and relate to him as another human being, Lord, you are good in all the things that you do. And so, Lord, help us as we study this passage this morning, God, to understand its truths. Lord, very important truths. We live in a society that does not honor marriage as much as it certainly used to. But marriage is something that you gave mankind. You brought Eve to Adam, the very first marriage, if you would. And God, you've said that marriage is to be honored by all. And we're saddened that it's not in a lot of ways. It's been corrupted and perverted and in so many different ways. People are apathetic about it. They don't even get married anymore. But Lord, there's certainly a lot of sexual immorality. And so we know that marriage is your design for a man and a woman to be united together in a lifelong relationship where they can enjoy the things that are to be done and taken care of in a covenant marriage relationship. God, you're so good to give us all these things, and we just ask your blessing now as we study these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus has laid down our life for us. In verse 24 of 2, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. That's what we're called to do now. Okay, we're not to be like everybody else. Okay, and not in a self-righteous looking down on everybody else, but just grateful and thankful that God has saved us. He's delivered us from sin and from death, and he's taken that burden of shame and guilt out of our heart, and he's given us purpose, and he's set our hearts and minds on things above, and we're just to continue to do that. We're to keep put to death the things of the flesh. We're to be instruments of righteousness like we talked about last week. And so this is the first practical example that Peter gives, and frankly, because guess what? When a husband and a wife are married, if one of them chooses to follow Christ and the other didn't, boy, that's kind of a difficult situation, isn't it? And I'm sure there was questions and concerns about, well, what should we do? Well, you know, Paul had those same kind of things and those same kind of questions from the church at Corinth. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, He talks about a situation where a believer was married to an unbeliever. In verse 12, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, to the rest I say this, I not the Lord, because Jesus didn't deal with situations like this. Okay, this didn't happen until the gospel started going into the Gentile world. Okay, to the rest I say this, I not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but it's just they are holy. And so, basically, he's just saying, listen, if your husband or wife doesn't mind staying with you and they're willing to live with you, even in spite of the fact that you've changed your mindset and you're going a different path than the way you used to, and you're honoring the Lord Jesus now, don't divorce them. Don't leave them just because you're in a relation with an unbeliever. Okay, now, of course, the Bible says don't be yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, a believer shouldn't go out and marry an unbeliever that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ or in God. They shouldn't do that. But if two people were married before and one becomes a Christian, then they are to remain in that state, you know, unless the unbeliever says, I don't want anything to do with this, and phooey, and I don't want my wife or my husband back, and I'm leaving, I want out of this, I want a divorce. Well, the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 7, right after that, you're to just let them go, because the Lord has called us to peace, and obviously that's not going to be a very peaceful relationship in a situation like that. And so, here in 1 Peter 3, he's really dealing with this relationship between husbands and wife. And specifically, it seems like to those who are maybe in a mixed kind of a marriage where one is a Christian and one isn't. Notice how in 3:1 it says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without word by the behavior of their wives. Okay, so there's the clue. If any of them do not believe the word. Okay, so wives, you're to submit to your unbelieving husband even. Why? Well, because within a marriage relationship, the husband is to be the head of the wife, just like Christ is the head of the church. Now, that doesn't mean he's better than she is. It doesn't mean he's more intelligent or whatever else. It's just that's the way that God designed it. And when the husband is directing his home and providing for his home and taking care of his wife and his children, that there shouldn't be any reason for a wife not to submit to his leadership and to appreciate him for that. And so this is why he's, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around like a dog on a chain and act like you're some, you know, subservient, whatever. It's not talking about that. But it's talking about live in such a way that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Okay? The Proverbs talk about, you know, a griping woman is like a dripping faucet, and a woman that's always nagging and always complaining, it's like, wow, you know, it's better to live up on the roof than to try to live with that. And so, you know, wives aren't supposed to be demanding and pushy, and they're not supposed to be telling their husbands what to do. And husbands, you should be leading in such a way that your wife doesn't feel like she has to do that. God gave you the responsibility for directing your home, not your wife. And yet, as we're going to talk about when we get to husbands, it certainly is befitting of a husband to listen to his wife and to take into consideration her thoughts and ideas, because, hey, she might add a whole lot of things that you didn't even think of. But here he's saying, wives that are married to those who don't believe the word, here's what you can do to win them over without any words by your behavior when they see the purity and reverence of your life. Okay, just like it's been talking about here in chapter 2, we're a different people. We're to live a life of purity, not a life of corruption. We're to be people that are honest and don't tell lies, and don't walk around gossiping and slandering people, and not walking around just tied to the things of this world. Okay, the purity and reverence of our lives, when we honor God, when we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, when we honor our husbands and take care of children and all these things. These are things that wives can do for unbelieving husbands that are like, wow, what's changed? What's different? I like it. And man, I want it. And so that's kind of the idea, that you would live in such a way that they could be won over. He goes on to say, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So here's a contrast, not this, but that. Okay, so he's saying, you know, your beauty shouldn't come from these. This shouldn't be your focus. This isn't what you should be, you know, saying this is where it has to come from. Women can spend so much time outwardly adorning themselves, and the things, the time and the effort they can spend on their hairstyles and the jewelry and the clothes. I mean, sometimes it's ridiculous. And some women spend so much time on that, wow. Okay. And yet everybody knows that you can deck yourself all up like that and get all pretty outwardly. But wow, you know, if you're cranky and grumpy and got a sour disposition and you walk around thinking like you're God's gift to men or something, yeah, it's not really something that's going to be really exciting to a man. And so here's the point, is that your beauty shouldn't cover those. It doesn't mean that any of these things are outlawed or that you couldn't wear any of those things, but it should be decent and orderly and not ridiculous and seeing if you can outdo the person next to you. Those are just outward things. What really matters is your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 31 talks about that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And here he's saying, you know, your beauty shouldn't come from all these outward things. Your real beauty should be your inner self, that gentle and quiet spirit, one that wants to provide and say, hey, I want to be a part of this, but is willing to let your husband lead and let your husband direct the affairs of the home and do that in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 says the very same thing in a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And we're not going to go there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, again, the same type of teaching is brought up because, hey, it's very important. It's about real life and it's about real life relationships. And so wives, this is to wives that have husbands that don't believe. How much more should a wife submit themselves to a husband that does believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to treat her like that and make life much easier and better for her? Who will appreciate that gentle, quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight? Okay, now the rest of the world might not. You know, worldly men are only interested in using women and ogling women and you know, hey, we want to see what we can see. That's not what it's all about, guys. And we need to be more concerned about a woman's inner beauty than just her external one. And then he gives an example, verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. Okay, they submitted themselves to their own husbands. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It doesn't always going to mean that you might have to deal with some consequences because of those things. But they submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Wow, you know, Abraham didn't make all the right decisions, and Sarah had to deal with some of those things. But she obeyed him, and she called him her Lord, that, hey, I'm going to submit to you. And I'm going to do the things that you'd have me to do. Now, again, ladies, this is not talking about obeying your husband in things that are wrong or immoral or ungodly. And frankly, you know, if they asked you to do that or wanted you to do that, you need to speak up and say, hey, I'm a Christian and, you know, I know you want me to do that, but I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm not going to dishonor Christ. And so this isn't something that you have to submit to. And guys, if you're just going to use this as a, well, you know, you're going to do anything that I tell you to do and anytime I want it. No, the very next passage of scripture is going to talk about that a little bit. So, hey, let's just jump there right now, because here's what he has to say to husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. All right, let's just start with that. Husbands, we have nothing to do with treating our wives badly, like they're inferior or they're our slave, or we can just tell them whatever we want them to do because we're the man of the house. Don't do that, please. That's not the kind of husband that Christ wants us to be. He doesn't treat his church like that. And that's the whole idea here, is that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. That's what it says in Ephesians 5:25. Here, Peter says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. You know, deal with them gently and treat them with respect, like somebody you really honor, like you honor Christ. And especially because it says here, as of the weaker partner, well, you know, they're more delicate, you know, not only physically, but many times emotionally and otherwise. And that's not an insult. It's just God made men to be men. And God made women to be women. And when the two work together, it's awesome. But when men try to be women and women try to be men, there's problems. Okay? There always has been and there always will be. And so, men, if you will do your best, husbands, do your best to be considerate as you live with your wives. And boy, you and I both know there's sometimes we don't do that. We act like a bunch of gorillas or something. That's crazy. And so we need to treat them with respect. And it goes on to say, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Okay, so husbands, not only are our wives our wives, but they're also heirs with us with salvation in Christ Jesus. And man, we need to remember that. We need to recognize and realize that, hey, God wants us to treat them as heirs of the gracious gift of life. And he goes on to say, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Okay, now, maybe there's some of you out there that think, oh, well, what's the big deal? I don't have a very good prayer life anyway. Well, that's probably your fault, obviously. But this is something that should be a concern of every Christian man. We should have a good prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We would want to make sure that nothing hinders that. And frankly, what this is saying is, husbands, if you're not getting along with your wives, if you're not being considerate with them and treating them with respect and dealing with them as a weaker partner and also as heirs of the gracious gift of life, then guess what? Your prayers are being hindered. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want my prayers to be hindered at all. Okay? I want my prayers to always be right there before the throne of God with nothing hindering them. But how can God listen to our prayers about a lot of other things if we're treating our wives badly? Okay, just like Jesus said on a Sermon on the Mount, how can we expect God to forgive us if we're not going to forgive other people, right? And so how do we expect God to listen to our prayers and be attentive to our prayers if we're not even treating the wife of our youth kindly and with gentleness and respect? Okay, wives, how do you expect God to treat your prayers if you're treating your husband like, you know, your servant, or to order him around, or all the things that wives do sometimes when they want their husbands to do something for them? Okay, that's not the way it's to be. Here's the teaching in a nutshell here. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Friends, I will guarantee this because it's from Scripture. If husbands, you will treat your wives like that, and wives, you'll submit to your husbands like that and love them and respect them and honor their authority, you're going to have a great marriage. You're going to have a marriage that's based on the Word of God rather than on the teaching of society. And believe me, what does society know about it? Okay. People get divorced all the time. Why? Because they can't work it out. Why? Because they don't choose to. In Christ, with the Word of God and following those things, there's no reason why a husband and wife can't have many, 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 many anniversaries, like for the rest of their life kind of anniversaries. All right? And so that's an ideal. That's what I want to challenge all of you out there that are married right now, whether it's been a week or 10 years or 75 years, is you just keep right on loving your husband and right on loving your wife and right on honoring God with your marriage, which is a picture of Christ's relationship to the church. And so, again, it's no wonder to me here in 1 Peter how this is the first, you know, example that he uses about a relationship with each other to say, hey, this is how I want you to live. And so, wow, it can be done, can it? If we choose to, it can be done. But how much better it is when we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and do it His way. All right, we're going to listen to our first song this morning called So Will I by Hillsong United. And you know what? If all of creation worships the Lord, so should we. And just keep right on doing that for the rest of our lives. Let's listen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars are made to worship so light, I can see your heart in everything you make. Every burning star, signal fire, grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I. Don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. And if it all reveals your nature so alive, I can see. So alive. If the mountains down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, a 100 billion fairies disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. And if you left the grave behind you so alive, I could see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
All right, that's about all we have time for this morning. Thanks so much for listening. Husbands, consider what we've talked about this morning. Wives, consider what we've talked about. And wherever you are, I just pray that you will make up your mind that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ and be the best husband, or the best wife that I can be for His honor and glory. I'm so thankful for my wife, Lisa, and the 29 wonderful years that we've had together. And I'm just looking forward to God helping us just to continue to have many more wonderful years. And so, hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to meet you and your wife. Come and join us. And any of the rest of you, too. You don't have to be married, certainly, to come and attend. But we'd love to get to know you. Sunday morning at 10:30, we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Again, this week, we're not going to be having evening services at 6 o'clock. So please come Sunday morning at 10:30 or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. You can find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can send questions through email or other comments as well. But we'd encourage you to do that. But please, if you haven't started seeking after God, today's the day to do it. And just remember that our whole salvation is built on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have a great week. God bless you.